This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Misinformation about EVs is spreading, and according to new research from the University of Queensland, more people now believe the myths than reject them. From fire risk to battery mining to the idea that EVs are a government conspiracy, these claims are influencing whether people are even open to going electric. Well, joining us today is Dr. Sam Pearson, one of the researchers behind this study, to talk to us through the most common myths. Sam, welcome to Drive.
Pleasure. Thank you for having me on the broadcast.
Sam, I can't tell you the number of times I've been told my car is going to burst into flames. Is that one of the myths that you looked at in this study?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's an absolute doozy. And the bad news about Australia is about 47% of people we surveyed said that they strongly agreed with that myth. So, yeah, it's a very pervasive one in this country.
If I'm driving down a, let's say there's two lanes going in the same direction.
Yes.
Next to me is a petrol car, a internal combustion engine car. I'm driving my EV. Which one's more likely to burst into flames or catch fire?
Well, I was unfortunately for that petrol driver, he's doomed to a fiery demise if you go by the raw statistics. So EVs in reality are not more likely to catch fire than internal combustion engines. And when you consider the mechanics, what's actually going on in an EV, it kind of makes a lot of sense. So in a petrol car, you've got a tank of hydrocarbons, one of the most energy-dense sources we can get on the planet, far more energy-dense than EV batteries. It's just sloshing around in there. It can be punctured. It's very sensitive to temperature. There's a hot exhaust. And so if that petrol car actually gets in a collision or goes off the road, it's far more likely to catch fire than your EV. Now, with that said, if your EV does catch fire, it is quite challenging to put out. It just presents a different problem to the fireys. But I think, you know, perhaps a lot of these people with vested interests of slowing EV adoption sort of distort that reality about the EVs being difficult to put out and twist that into them more likely. Being more likely to catch fire.
So that was going to be my question. Where do these myths come from? Is it from vested interests like fossil fuel industries and manufacturers of cars that do have internal combustion engines?
Yeah, so obviously we don't have smoking gun evidence because that's quite hard to ascertain. But there's a lot of fingers pointing towards people with vested interests in fossil fuels. Creating and proliferating these myths. You know, that someone just doesn't decide this stuff off the top of their head one day. You know, they see about it in the news. The news fixates on, the two incidences of EVs catching fire over the past month. And, those news companies are funded by, vested interests in the fossil fuel companies. So that's sort of the most plausible explanation for how these myths get conceived and then proliferated.
Sam, which myth surprised you the most in terms of how many people believed it?
I'll tell you which one depressed me the most. Okay. It was that I think it was 19% of Aussies believed that the magnetic fields generated by EVs lead to health issues. Which is just ridiculous when you consider that, people actually use internal combustion engines to sort of, trigger warning here, but, to hurt themselves. Yeah. And folks are believing that the magnetic fields are leading to health issues. It baffles me.
But, I mean, something like a toaster has an electromagnetic field coming out of it as well.
Exactly. And to that point, your hairdryer is actually emitting more electromagnetic radiation than an EV is. An EV, you're in a Faraday cage. There's a bunch of metal surrounding you from the battery. So, that one was a bit of a doozy.
The other one is, of course, electric blankets.
Yeah, there you go.
Now, what were some of the other myths that you found out when you were doing your survey across multiple countries?
Another one you sort of mentioned earlier was that the manufacturing carbon footprint of an electric vehicle outweighs their emission savings. And again, that one's demonstrably false, although there's a kind of kernel of truth to it in the sense that an EV does take more carbon to produce initially. Over about 1 to 3 years, it recoups that carbon relative to a internal combustion engine.
We're chatting with Dr. Sam Pearson from the University of Queensland about a new study revealing just how common EV myths have become and what drives us to believe them. What is it that you think it is? What's behind us believing them, Sam? Is it a trust in the industry or something else?
It's a good question, and we explored this in our research. We sort of measured a lot of what we call individual difference variables in people. So, you know, we looked at things like political ideology, age, education. And, you know, these are the things that come up when you ask folks about their lay beliefs of why people believe misinformation. They say, oh, you know, they're really conservative, or, yeah, they, you know, like the big petrol car because it's a symbol of masculinity or something like this. And we find that, you know, those kind of commonly cited variables, they're not really the main story with all this. The thing that really predicts misinformation endorsement is this cognitive trait called conspiracy mentality, which is really the tendency to believe that conspiracies are real and to interpret the world through a lens of sort of hidden agendas.
What's a good way, I suppose, to counter this misinformation about EVs?
Great question. And I guess it really comes down to how willing or how capable you are at having a really kind of engaged discussion with the person. You know, that's sometimes hard to do without the conversation descending into sort of aggressive argument or reactivity. Mm. So what we explored in our study is getting people to talk with ChatGPT, a large language model that I'm sure a lot of listeners are familiar with. And so we found that just a brief conversation with ChatGPT reduced the level of misinformation endorsement from people that had it. So I guess, you know, if you don't want to get into a screaming match with someone over EVs, you can sort of direct them to just ask ChatGPT about it.
What I find amazing is, I mean, the reason I bought an EV was because I wanted to do my, you know, the best I could for the planet, and I needed to change my car anyway. And then, it was almost like people were trying to you know, challenge me to my decision and say, okay, there's no way, you've done the wrong thing, and going out of their way to make their comments about having an EV rather than just not even taking any notice of what sort of car you drive.
Yeah, I'm very sorry to hear that. And obviously there's a bit of resistance out there, as we can tell by our numbers. I wonder about these people if they've ever actually got behind the wheel, because, you know, regardless of you know, what you feel about climate change, EVs are real inherently fun vehicles to drive. They accelerate really quickly, they're so quiet, and it's just a smooth ride. So hopefully more of those folks can actually get out there and experience the thrill of an EV themselves.
Sam, before we let you go, what I want to ask you is, you know, in this country, we do have issues with charging infrastructure, you know, being operational, et cetera, the availability of it. Do you think that that's played into people's decision not to go with EVs as well?
Maybe that's one factor that people are taking into consideration when they're deciding whether to purchase it. But when you look at the average Aussie commute, it's really not that long. Mm. So, you know, most of our population is living in the cities. And to those folks, I say, you know, an EV is just the perfect option. The charging infrastructure is good enough if you're driving your car a maximum of, you know, 10Ks to work, which is about the average, you're going to be fine. And, you know, for all the other folks that are living a bit more rurally or have longer commutes, yeah, maybe just buy a hybrid if you need to refresh your car or hold off. But that infrastructure is coming, and when it does, I think it's going to be a real no-brainer.
Sam, great to chat with you. Thanks for joining us on Drive.
Thank you for having me. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you, Dr. Sam Pearson, postdoctoral research fellow at the University of Queensland.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.